Hello, everybody. I am Miguel Gonzalez, and once again, thank you for joining us here on Truth to Live By. We hope that these programs are a blessing to you, and we hope that this message that you're going to be listening to will be a blessing to you as well. We would encourage you to join us each week for 30 minutes of Bible study, and we would encourage you to share this program with your friends and family so that they may be blessed as well. Today, the title of this message is called, What Should Believers Be Praying For? What should believers be praying for? Oftentimes when I talk to Christians, one of the questions that is often asked is, it revolves around this whole issue of prayer and what they should be praying about. Oftentimes we overlook the basic points or principles that Scripture gives us concerning a particular area of life, of our spiritual life, and therefore we are not in tune with God in terms of the things that God would have us do for us to grow spiritually. So what should believers be praying for? And we're going to be spending some time looking at Paul's prison epistles to gather information about those things that Paul felt, and in turn God, since it's the Word of God we're looking at, God felt that are important that we pray for and about for us to experience a more dynamic relationship with Him. But before we start, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to live in a country where we can study your word, where we can preach your gospel, and that gospel can be taken to thousands and thousands of people through radio and television. And we are grateful that you have given us that opportunity. We pray that you would use this message in the lives of those who will hear it in a very positive way, and that you may change their lives forever as a result of it. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Again, we're going to be speaking about what should believers be praying for, and we're going to be spending some time looking at Paul's prison epistles. We're going to be looking at four particular things we should be praying for as we find them spoken of by Paul in Philippians, Colossians, and Ephesians. The first thing that we should be praying for discerning love. Discerning love. And the passage we're going to look at is Philippians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And listen to what Paul says. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now there's much said here by Paul, but there's two words that I want to key into, and that is discernment and love. The first thing that we ought to pray for in our lives, listen, for those of you who often ask, what should I be praying for? What should I be praying about? How can I ask God for something He can answer that will cause me to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ? Well, the first thing we find here from Paul is that we ought to be praying for discerning love. Listen to what he says. Paul prayed, in this case, for the Philippian church, and as it would result, for all who belong to the church of Christ, since this is part of God's word, and it was meant to communicate God's will to all who belong to Him. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Listen, remember, Paul himself told us that the most important virtue that characterizes the life of the believer is that virtue or that characteristic of love. In fact, the Bible tells us that unbelievers, or those who do not belong to Jesus Christ, know that we are believers because of the love that we have for the brethren, for one another. Love is that one characteristic that separates us from everybody else and that causes everybody else to recognize us as His children, as belonging to Him, as people who have been born again by the grace of God, and who now, as they submit to the Lord, allow the love of God to be manifested and expressed through us. Remember, the Bible says God is love. If we as believers do not manifest love and do not allow the love of God to be expressed through us, then we're living a life of sin, because not loving is sinful. So Paul says that he prays that our love, and that's something that we should be praying for ourselves and for others, that our love may abound more and more. But our love ought to be based on knowledge and depth of insight. It ought not to be a void or empty love. It's a love that understands what it is and why it is, based on objective truth, based on who God is and who God has expressed and manifested Himself to be in our lives. But listen to what he says. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. You want to be able to know what's best, and you want to be able to live a life that is pure and blameless until the day of Christ, then you better have love in your life, and it better be a godly love that allows you to discern those things. You're able to understand, you're able to separate the good from the bad, the good from the evil, the better from the best, because of the love of God that is in you and is expressed through you. So, one of the things that Paul instructs us that we ought to be praying for ourselves and for our fellow believers in the body of Christ, is for discerning love. The second thing we ought to be praying for is enlightened behavior. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience in joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints and in the kingdom of light. We ought to be praying for enlightened behavior. Listen, Paul clearly teaches us that our lives should be lives lived, or should be lives that are worthy of the Lord. And I've said this many times before, and I'll keep saying it again. Life for the believer is not about the believer. Life for the Christian is about Christ. And Christ has called us to be holy and righteous. And for the first time in our lives, we can actually live holy and righteous lives because we have the power of God within us that causes us to be able to live that way. If you're not a believer in Christ, or even us as believers, before we became believers, we were incapable of living lives worthy of the Lord because our lives, we were alienated and enemies of God and were spiritually void. We had no Holy Spirit to cause us to live holy and righteous lives. But now that we do, Paul says, we ought to be praying for enlightened behavior. Listen, our behavior, our life, how we live our life ought to be based, according to Paul, ought to be based on, and let me go back to the passage, fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's why I'm talking about enlightened behavior. Listen, we ought to be praying that God gives us the knowledge, the insight, the wisdom to live lives that bring glory and honor to him. We ought to be praying for God to enlighten us with the things that allow us to live holy, pure, and blameless lives. Listen, there is no greater joy, listen to me, there is no greater joy in the life of the believer than to know that his life brings glory and honor to his God and his Lord and his Maker and his Savior. It brings, sort of, you know, in human terms I say this, it brings a smile to the face of Jesus. And I use that to illustrate what I'm saying. It brings a smile to the face of Jesus when he sees you. Listen, when he sees you living a life that is worthy of him. Do you know? Listen, half the times we don't even know what this means, because half the times we have not yet put our arms around or have been able to, in some way, shape, or form, grasp what has happened in our lives as a result of entering into a personal relationship with him. Do you know that as a Christian, you are now a child, a son or daughter of the living God? Do you know, Christian, that you are an heir and co-heir with Christ of the kingdom of God? Do you know, believer in God, that you will go to heaven the day you leave this earth to be with him forever? Do you know, Christian, that you will be in absolute awe and that your jaw will drop open and remain that way for eternity as you start taking in who God is? Do you understand, Christian, that now for the first time ever you have hope? And that now for the first time ever you're able through the Holy Spirit to make the right choices and decisions in life. And that you by the name of Christ have the power and authority to do the work of God and change the lives of people forever. Not because of you, but because of Christ in you. It's never about you. If you're in ministry for yourself, it's not the work of God. If you're in ministry for yourself, it's not the work of God. If you're in ministry simply to make yourself available for Christ to do whatever it is he has to do through you, then you're in the work of God for God. The real thing. We are to pray for enlightened behavior. Ask God to show you how a Christian lives a life that is worthy of him. What an honor and what a privilege to even be able to speak these words and be able to articulate in the Spirit the desire of our hearts to live lives that glorify our Lord and our King. A third prayer we should be praying for, spiritual illumination. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We ought to be praying for, first of all, discerning love. Secondly, we should be praying for enlightened behavior. Thirdly, we should be praying for spiritual illumination. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Listen, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, we call that illumination, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Listen, we should be praying for spiritual illumination. Don't miss that. He prays that God would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know him better. Now listen, we have already the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the day, he is the Spirit. He is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. But having the Spirit reside in you doesn't mean that you are effectively allowing him to impart to you wisdom and revelation. Because you can grieve and quench the Holy Spirit by living a hypocritical, disobedient, sinful life. Now listen, if you live a life that is consistently riddled with sin and disobedience, I would ask you to check your faith to see whether you are in the faith. That's biblical. Paul challenged the Corinthians to do that. Christians don't stop necessarily sinning, but they sin with less frequency as they grow in the faith. But if you fail to confess your sin and you fail to submit yourself to the leadership and direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he will never be able to impart to you wisdom and revelation, and you will never be able to successfully come to know God better. That's a decision you make, and we talked about decisions on a previous message. One of the decisions you make is to allow the Holy Spirit, to impart to you God's wisdom and revelation. What should you be praying for? You should be praying for the Holy Spirit to allow you to come to know God better. And you will never know God fully. Not in this lifetime. And I don't even know that in the lifetime to come in heaven. God's just too big. The whole concept of God really escapes us. We have a limited knowledge of God, and we tend to box God based on the limited knowledge we have of him. God is far more than even he's revealed to us. But you'll never come to know that God who saved you and who loves you and who wants to bless your life better unless you submit to the one Spirit you have already received as a result of your repentance, so that he may impart to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So what should you be praying for? You should be praying for discerning love. You should be praying for enlightened behavior. And you should be praying for spiritual illumination. Ask God. Ask God not only for yourself, but for your fellow believers in the Lord. Ask God to impart to you spiritual illumination. I'll ask him to open the eyes of your heart so that they may be enlightened What for? In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparable great power for us to. You know why God wants us to pray for him to open the eyes of our heart? Three reasons are given. And we're going to move through this real quickly because I have another point I want to make. Listen. If you successfully pray and allow God to open the eyes of your heart, you're going to first of all understand the hope to which you have been called for. You're going to understand the riches of your inheritance, and you're going to know the power that lies within you because of your relationship to the Lord Jesus. Listen, if you don't pray for spiritual illumination, you're not going to be successfully asking the Spirit to impart to you wisdom and revelation, and you are not going to come to know God better, and you are not going to successfully have the eyes of your heart opened. And by not having the eyes of your heart open, you're going to miss out on understanding the hope for which you have been called, to which you have been called. You're going to miss out on understanding the riches that you have received and the inheritance that you have by virtue of your relationship to Jesus, and you will not understand the power that you have within you because of your relationship to Jesus. Fourthly, you should be praying for divine plentitude. Divine plentitude. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, love comes up all the time, rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with a measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Listen, we ought to be praying for divine plenitude. We ought to be praying so that we may understand the glorious riches and the power that strengthens us through the Spirit in our inner being, and that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Listen, there's no way we're gonna even be able to somewhat dissect this passage. But listen, if you're a believer and you're struggling with knowing what to pray for, and this is not something you ask for once. These are things you pray for over and over and over in your life, and you pray over and over for believers as well. You pray for discerning love. You pray that God not only will allow his love to be experienced in your life, but that others may experience his love as it's expressed and manifested through you. Pray for God to allow you to be a vessel of love. Pray for God to enlighten your behavior, to give you wisdom and knowledge, so that you may in turn live a life that brings honor and glory to him, a life that is worthy of the Lord. You ought to be praying over and over for spiritual illumination, asking God to open the eyes of your heart so that you may experience the greatness of God and all that he has blessed you with already. And you ought to be praying for divine plenitude. Understanding. That knowing God is a lifelong process. And that God has a great deal in store for us. And that he wants us to experience it all. If you've doubted or you've wondered what you ought to pray for, these are four things that I challenge you to start with for yourself and for others. Father, thank you so much for instructing us from your word on what things are important for us to pray for and about, for ourselves and for others. May this message spark in us the desire to begin to live out that discipline of prayer so that we may experience you and others may experience you through us. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Well, folks, we have come to the end of this program. We want to thank you for joining us once again. We want to pray that you would continue to meet with us each week at this time on this radio station to continue studying God's Word together. We are so grateful to the Lord for the opportunity to be able to live in a country where we can still proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we can do this to thousands of people across this nation through the airwaves. We want to remind you folks that this is a listener-supported ministry. We rely entirely and exclusively on the generosity of God's people. That is the only way in which we can continue to air these programs on these radio stations on which you all listen to us. We want to ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially so that we may be able to not only continue airing the programs on the stations on which we are on now, but that we may be able to continue to grow and therefore reach many thousands more with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to provide you our contact information at the end of this program so that you can contact us. We want to also ask you to commit to pray for this ministry, so that God's blessing may be upon it. After all, this is not our ministry, this is the Lord's ministry. So we pray that you would continue to ask the Lord to do great and mighty things through this ministry. Yeah, we would ask you to write to us as well. Let us know what God is doing in your life as a result of these programs. It would be a great source of encouragement for us. If you have any prayer requests, we would love for you to send those to us so that we can bring those to the throne of grace on your behalf. Also, if you want to order any CDs, any copies of any of the messages that you have heard, we would ask you to send us a letter. Let us know the date and the call letters of the station on which you heard the program. That way we can send you the correct one out. We would ask that you would enclose a $5 gift to cover the cost of shipping and handling and materials and production. That way we can continue providing these resources to all who are in need or in want of any of these programs. Let me provide you with our contact information. If you're going to write to us, send your correspondence to Reasons for Faith International Ministries, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227-0279. If you want to send us any email, you can do so to Truth to Live By, all one word, at rffiministries.org. And we would ask you to also visit us online. You may gather a great deal of information about us and check out the resources that we have available there at www.rffiministries.org. Thank you, and may God bless you. We will see you next week.